I'm going to invite you on my journey today. He talked to me a few weeks ago about this, said, hey, I know God's been talking to you. Is it something that you feel like you could share on a Sunday? Could I? Yes. But I kept arguing with God about that. As, yeah, hey, what about if it's a class? We've talked about doing maybe a Saturday of classes and doing a few things. That sounds good, not a Sunday morning. But he said different. And not only that, he didn't give me an easy subject to talk about. But how many of you know that when you talk out of what God has done for you and out of the very life flow that's in you, that's the most effective thing that God has to say? So that's what we're doing today. The second you saw that slide go up, freedom from depression. If you were like me, first thing you wanted to do was say, okay, I wonder if they need a little bit of help downstairs with the kids. That would be a lot more comfortable. Because there's usually two ways these conversations go. You know, if you're closer to God and you had more faith, you wouldn't be dealing with this. You know, or it's okay, let's just stay where you're at because it's not something you can control. We're not going either of those ways this morning. Let's pray for just a minute before we get into this. Father, we invite you. We invite an awareness of your spirit that's here with us today. Lord, we ask for the oil of gladness as we talk today. Because, Father, this is not an easy subject. But it's one where when we connect to you, the very life flow of your breath can go through this building. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. This continues right in with the continuing series that Dad's been working on, Living a Life of Freedom. We've been talking very basically for actually a lot longer than this series about living the best life that God has for you, what he's designed for us. And before we actually jump deep into the whole thing about depression, let's get something out of the way, okay? As I'm talking, never hear fault in this. Sit with that for just a second. This is not something, never hear, I did this to myself. Never hear it's something I did that caused this. That's not where we're going, and that's not what we're talking about today. So if you hear those kind of feelings and thoughts popping up, don't listen to that. Instead, listen to the life of God as he's talking with you. We're gonna try our best not to make this depressing either. Not a depressing conversation about depression here. Because in Isaiah 61:3, when I was praying, you heard me use that term, the oil of gladness. He talks about exchanging the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the oil of gladness for our mourning. And depression, for those that have ever had it, either personally or have ever known someone in their life who has had it, that's a spirit of heaviness. And it fills the whole house. And sometimes even further when someone's really struggling in that area. But he's got an oil of gladness for us today. Think about this question for just a minute. Is it possible to be depressed and not know that you're depressed? Mm-hmm, absolutely. Definitely, certainly. The very nature of what depression is can cause us not to even realize we're depressed. It presses in on everything and kind of suppresses what you're doing. Think about it like this. If most of us have heard this analogy to some extent, and if you haven't, well, here it is. But have you ever heard of what happens if you put a frog in a pot of boiling water? He jumps out, right? That'd be his first thing. He's getting out of there because that's a problem. But frogs are made in their environment to adjust their body temperature to whatever their environment is. So if you put a frog into a pot of just regular temperatured water, room temperature, and then you put the fire on and let it come up to boil, he's gonna stay there. because he's going to keep adjusting as that temperature goes up and goes up and goes up. And before long, he's not in a safe environment anymore. That's a little bit like depression for us. For those that do suffer, those that have fought this struggle, a lot of times you don't even realize until something is so terribly askew and you're not sure what's going on. That happens a lot. So if it is that sneaky, and it's something that we don't recognize, how do we get to where we recognize it? What is it? Well, I think most of you have probably seen those commercials on TV where either it's got a little cartoon, and I don't even know what it is, but that little circle that kind of blobs around all whimpery, whiny, and sad. Or you've got the commercials where you've got happy people out in the forest and they're going on hikes and they're enjoying each other, and it says, you know, depression hurts. This medicine can help. And it's showing you what you can be if you're not depressed. You can be happy. You can be out doing things. The thing is, we want to equate depression with that picture of somebody lying in bed in a dark room, blanket up over their head, doesn't want to go anywhere, sadness. And sometimes that's true. It absolutely can be that way. But most often, that's not how it presents at all. And so, you know, if we're looking at that, we think it's someone has to be sad if they're depressed, and somebody has to be that under this oppression, then we might miss it for ourselves and for those around us. Clinically, when they want to go and tell you whether or not you have depression and they're asking you questions, they look at it. Remember Ecclesiastes 3, where it says, you know, there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And it seems like there's these polar opposite things going on here. That's what it's like clinically as well. They'll say, hey, do you eat too much? Do you not eat enough? Do you sleep too much? Do you not sleep at all? Do you feel too much? Maybe you don't feel enough. I mean, where are you supposed to even land on that? You know, yes, there's a spectrum in the middle, but it's complex. Well, let me ask you this. Here's some questions just to ask of yourself, and try not to shut off. If you'd never feel like you've dealt with depression, just ask God to talk with you, because sometimes it can be just a little area of your life and not an entire issue where you walk around saying, hey, I am a depressed person. No, that's not what we're looking at here. Or it can be somebody in your life. Think about these questions the way God talks with you about them. Do you ever look around and it seems like everyone in the world is laughing but you? Have you ever gone to sleep one night and then woken up the next morning to find your joy, your enthusiasm, your motivation just gone? Do you ever hear others speak of joy and think, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that feels like. Does it ever feel like you live in a state of constant overwhelm? Do the simplest tasks require more effort than you can muster? For those who struggle in this area, it's very real. And those kind of questions happen a lot, because you look around and you think, it's not the same. What I'm seeing here, I don't feel like that. Why don't I feel that way? For me, I lived an entire life where I'm pretty sure I never dealt with depression or anxiety. I think there was probably a short period of time in high school where anxiety reared its ugly head. I didn't know that's what it was at the time, but I worked through it. But I reached a time in early adulthood where suddenly I was diagnosed with a tough diagnosis. They found thyroid cancer. They did the treatments that were necessary. They went through all the treatments. And for a period of 3 years or so there, it was one thing after another. I recovered. I started living my life again. I went through several crisis points. I lost a large group of friends that I thought were going to be lifelong friends, completely ripped away from me. I moved geographically twice, and only one of those was by my own, you know, decision. I lost my mother to death with her own cancer battle. It's a tough 3 years. So when all of a sudden I'm calling into work 2 or 3 days in a row sick, and I am sick, but I'm sick in a way that I've never thought, I've never had before in my life. And I was that person they were talking about, in the bed, head covered up, couldn't talk about what was going on with me without crying, couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. Finally, you know, I remember Dad calling me. He's like, well, you know, well, what kind of sick are you? And I don't know, but here's what's going on. And thankfully, I have wonderful friendships in my life, and some of them are medical doctors, and they looked at it and they said, okay, first of all, let's get you through this crisis point, and then let's talk about this and see what we need to do. And so I was so happy. I said, thank you, God. I know what happened. It makes sense. For that 3 years, of course I was going to hit that road. Of course. And they told me, typically, when somebody has their thyroid completely removed, they would put you on some sort of drugs to help you because that's part of the function of your thyroid. They put me on thyroid replacement therapy, but they didn't think about that side of things or figured, let's wait and see if she needs it. Either way. And they said, we're surprised you went this long without needing it. So, hey, there's my answer. Awesome. We've got this kicked. We'll take a look at everything. Everything will be fine. And it was for quite a while. But what about the spiritual side of things? What about when you can't explain medically what's going on? What if it's all intertwined? And as I move into this, I want to be real clear. Having depression, there's no more of a lack of faith involved in that than if you have a cold. If you are a person who has been led to believe that, talk to God about that one. And please do not put that on other people. That's the last thing in the world a person who is moving through depression needs to hear. Is that there is some sort of lack of faith and they've got to figure something out and rally something to get better. That's not going to help. Please don't be that person. And if you need to reconcile that with God, please do. Because it is the very lie of the enemy to help hold people in that situation when they are scared to actually approach the church and say, I need help. Because they know they're going to be judged, there's going to be stigma, and they're going to be made to feel like it's their fault. That's not always the case. This church, that's not the case. At least not in my... I reached out to people in this church, and they were right there beside me. They said, I don't know what this feels like. Tell me what it feels like so I know. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk alongside you in this. Nothing better. Nothing better. Somehow, we have been led to believe that if we acknowledge that there is something going on in us, that somehow we're claiming that thing and holding it to ourselves. And especially in depression, but in many diseases and in many clinical issues that people have, bringing light to that thing is what will chase the darkness away. I am not saying that you want to do what I mentioned before and say, I am a depressed person. It's not like, hello, my name is Leslie and I am depressed. No, it's not like that. It is, I struggle in this area. And through the life of God and through connection to the source of life within me, He's got this. And guess what? There's light at the end of the tunnel. There absolutely is. When I invited that light in, when I would let people, like, you know, my dad's good at reading it. We went through it a little bit with my mom. She went through some very traumatic issues with her health. And I was good at reading it in her. I wasn't good at reading it in me. I didn't realize when it started sneaking up. And he'd say, hey, what's going on? Have you had labs done lately? Why don't we check a few things out? And I appreciate that. I appreciate those people that are trusted in my life because they help me go, ooh, let's pay attention to this. Let's make sure that I'm still on that road. I'm still on that. It's like a spectrum. If you look at things where that wall over there is as depressed as you can get, it's that person in bed laying there for months, years on end. And you look at this wall over here and it's freedom from that thing. There's a lot of space in between. And you don't just magically go from that one to that one. Especially if you don't change some of your decisions in life. If God does completely heal you from that and bring you over there, you still have some decisions to make in that and to keep that going. There are not only these personal people that I've talked about, but there are people that God has brought across my path that, oh my goodness, teaching, people that are clinically scientific professionals and know this stuff from a secular point of view, but are also extremely solid foundational Christian people that have, God has put it on their hearts to blend those things and say, look, here's what's happening from a physiological standpoint. Here's what can happen from a spiritual standpoint. Let's look at it all because it all affects everything. At the end today on the PowerPoint, there are some recommendations that they'll be putting up. I'll also probably blog about it later because we don't want to get too deep into that at the end of this. But there are materials out there. There are things you can do to learn both sides of that coin. Now, I will caution one thing. If you're like me, you like knowledge. I like to dig in and find out about things. Don't focus so closely on the topic of depression that that's all you surround yourself with. If all you do is focus on that, you're not going to come up out of it. It doesn't help, or you're not going to be that light for somebody else to help them come up out of it. Talk to God about to what level you need to be looking into this and make sure you have that healthy side of connecting to your source while you're learning so that you're looking up and not always looking at the material that says, here's what it's going to be for the rest of your life. Here's how things go. Here's what's happening. Make sure you're giving yourself that breath of life as you're moving through it. So, like we mentioned before, the overarching theme, man, for years, what has God designed you to be? Who has He designed you to be? I'm telling you, I look around this world. We had a seminar here about a week and a half or so ago about bullying. And I've always kind of been on the fence about that one. I'm like, there's always been bullying. You know, nothing new about that. Are we just not handling it right? Blah, blah, blah. You know, it was very impactful. And looking at the statistics, even from our area, I was very, very surprised at what I was hearing. And I heard somebody say this, and it really connected with me about how we are reaching a level in our world of depersonalization that we've never seen before, where it's easy for us to attack someone on Twitter using just our hiding behind our handle. And we don't have to look that person in the eye and see what the effect of that was for them. It's easy to dehumanize people. It's easy to rip into people. And then it's easy to do that for ourselves as well. We start seeing ourselves as not quite that. We're not occupying the design that God has for us. As Christians, when we look at this, we got to be really careful how we handle our emotions. when I said that, how many kind of had a little bit, at least a perception of, yes, your emotions will lie to you. No, you got to be careful with those. Push them away, because you can't run on emotion. Yep, I knew she was going to say that. My feelings got me here. I focused too much on my emotions. No. What if the emotions actually tell you a truth? What if they are an indicator of something that needs to be dealt with? What if you got angry because there's an issue with that relationship that really isn't healthy? What if you got angry because somebody did really treat you wrong? Now, that's not a ticket to say, I can do whatever I want with that anger. But it's an emotion. There's a reason for that. God created us with those emotions. As a matter of fact, I mean, we're supposed to model Jesus, right? He didn't run from emotion. He was angry. He was lonely. He grieved. He lost friends. He didn't run from that emotion. Instead of running away and trying not to feel it, he ran right to his source, ran right to Father. And he actually lived. He chose to go to the source of life. And he occupied his own humanity. If he's our model, we need to get better at that. I'm not good at that. It's impossible to shut off our emotions and be fully who God created us to be. That's a tough one, because I'm great at suppressing emotion. I'm great at pushing it down and just putting up a nice facade and keeping on moving. Doesn't get me to the right place. You see, if we look at depression and we say, okay, depression doesn't equal sadness, and sadness doesn't equal depression, then what is it? I think a more accurate way of describing it would be a numbness. Not necessarily a sadness, but a numbness, an apathy. So if you look at it that way, then if depression isn't sadness, then the opposite of depression isn't happiness, right? Which we often think of. You're either depressed or you're happy. Pretty easy. No. The opposite of depression is expression. Expressing that life that God has created us, expressing that design. So then, if that's the case, what would be a more accurate way to even use the term depressed? Suppression. Because we're suppressing that life that God has put inside of us. We're pressing down all those feelings. For me, that rang a bell the first time I heard that. I said, oh my goodness, yeah, expression, suppression. What you guys see up here today, this is expression for me. And for a long time, I wouldn't do this, would not do it. I was afraid I would cry. I didn't like what my body looks like now that I've gone through the medical situations. I had all these wonderful reasons, and I'm just not the same person that I was back then, that confident person who could get up and do something like this. Lies. This is expression. This is me not suppressing like I had done for so long. So when you look at it from a clinical standpoint, man, you can't just say depression is physical, depression is spiritual. It's all of those things. It is physical. It is cognitive and psychological. It's emotional. It's spiritual. It's all those things. None of them are separate. They all overlay each other and affect each other. it makes sense if you don't, if you haven't already put up that diagram, you sure have. When you really kind of take a look at it, it makes sense. You can't have one without it affecting the others. If something happens emotionally, it's going to affect your body. It's going to affect your mind. All those three things work together. It's a very complex issue. So why do we want to make it so simple and say, you just need more faith? Not true. Since it is a physical condition, let's just pick one emotion kind of and talk about it, like grief, for instance. That's a good one. It's one that a lot of us like to run from. It's not just when you lose someone. It can be grief over the loss of a job, grief over a child choosing a different path than you thought they would choose, grief that your life didn't turn out quite the way you thought it would. There's a lot of things to grieve in this fallen world we live in. But we, especially in the church, it seems like we're very bad at handling grief. Because we do. We say, your emotions will lie to you. You've got to be careful with that. You know, when you walk in that door back there on a Sunday morning, it's been tough. Had an argument on the way to church. Things are a little, you know, the kids woke up on the wrong side of the bed. They didn't want to get their shoes on. It was a knockdown, drag out. And you show up here, and the greeter says, hey, good morning, how are you today? Oh, I'm fine. I'm blessed and highly favored. You know what? You probably are. But at that moment, how many know it's okay to say, it's been a struggle, but you know what? I know God's got this, and I am a blessed person who is highly favored. Because too often, not everyone, but too often, those responses are simply walls. Don't get behind this. I'm blessed and highly favored. Keep moving. Because I don't want to talk about the fact that we didn't seem so blessed and highly favored on the way to church this morning. I don't want to talk about the fact that I was up all night because I could not get to sleep. I couldn't get my mind to shut down and stop thinking. I don't want to talk about those things. I just want to say this and get in there and come on, worship team, get me in his presence so I can feel better. When we do that, we press down things that are uniquely true about us. And what ends up happening is we partner with that depression. And we start giving it place. We start allowing it to live in that darkness, and we don't bring light to it. Now, I'm not saying you need to spill your guts to every person you meet. That's not a good idea. But just being truthful and living with how you feel about things is okay. Let God talk to you about how to work with that. These comments are very true, yet they're a little circular in how they come out, but look at it this way. Emotions are physical, and physical things in you cause emotions, and your emotions cause physical things. Yeah. Part of what is emotional is the way you think, and the ways you think are emotional. Yeah. You know those logic tests they give you sometimes where they say if X plus Z is whatever, then is it true that this? Well, all of this comes right back around to each other, and everything affects everything else. So there's good parts to this because it works so well. Remember last week when Dad was talking about how, you know, sometimes you automatically want to respond and think out of your mind or out of your heart. And we need to get better at thinking out of our spirit, the spirit that's in the middle of us. That is the awesome thing, because right in the middle of all three of those things is the spirit, affecting everything. And I'll tell you what, spirit is not religious expectations, you guys. It's not that part of you that ought to behave better because it's just better if you, you know, that shows what you believe. If you're just better at things, that's not what spirit is. It is the part of you that receives breath from the one who created you. That's exactly what it is. It informs all those other three circles up there. That instead of living from your mind and your body and your emotions first, if you live from your spirit first, then that's what informs all the rest of those things that happen. And you're able to overcome some of that stuff, and you're able to let God's breath, because I tell you, if you're breathing his life and you're focusing on him, there's not room for the rest of that stuff. You start acting like he acts and seeing people the way he sees. What Mike said today when he saw that man and he said, I thought, I wonder where he is with God. That didn't come from his mind and his body and his emotions. That came from spirit. Spirit first. When we get in that darkness and that depressed state, if you're not careful, that's something, that's a term I use for myself at times. Oh, I'm in that dark place. You know, that's starting to try to encroach a little bit now. You end up turning that over. And instead of working out of spirit first, you're working out of your mind and your body and your emotions first and not connecting with him. Now, again, that's not fault. That's just learning to live your life with a different expression. That's learning to live your life connected with him in a different way. That doesn't mean I've done it wrong, that I asked for this. When we think about suppression, when something happens that hurts, it's the first thing we want to do. We want to make sure that suffering minimizes absolutely as quickly as possible. We don't like to suffer. I hate it. Not something I want to do. But I'll tell you, the more we do that, the more we push that pain down inside of us, it's got to find a way out. It's got to come out some way. And things like depression, addictions, those kind of things, that's exactly how it starts making itself known. Because your body is a wonderful creation, and it's going to tell you when things are not right. I really struggled with using this analogy, but I'm going to do it because it just makes sense to me. I was listening to somebody that I admire a lot who teaches on this subject, and he said a man came up to him one day and said, you know, my family, he had lost his wife, I believe, a couple of years before, and my family says I haven't grieved. And I mean, it was about like this, the way he was saying it to him. I don't know. I don't really believe in grief. And basically, he was saying, what do you think about this? And Bob came back to him and said, well, if you don't believe in grief, then I'm sure you don't believe in urinals either. Seems out of left field, right? Well, the guy comes up and says, urinals? He goes, yeah. What are urinals for? You got something in there that needs to come out. Yep. See, I know it's gross, but hey, you know, it just makes it so clear. We have something in us that needs to come out, and it's going to find a way out. So if we don't occupy our humanity, work through our emotions with our source, it's going to find a way out some way or another. Makes sense when you look at it that way, right? Now, I'm going to touch on this briefly, but you, when we talk about fault and we know that we did not cause this, this isn't something that we asked for, but there is personal responsibility in what we can do to get out of it. Because we're powerful beings. He gave us that. If we don't have any responsibility in stepping out, we have no power in that. There are things we can do. Now, I know for me, when it's the toughest time, the very things that you know you need to do to get out of it seem thoroughly unreachable. You know, for me, I often cannot eat at all. Anything that's good for me, hardly. But all the chocolate cake in the world is just fine. You know, your body will lie to you on a lot of that stuff, but we have control. There are things we can do. Little steps, because remember that spectrum? It's not about, I need to get from that wall to that wall. It's where am I at and what one little thing can I do that takes me further away from that? One little thing, one little step. We all know we should eat right, we should exercise. That's something we know. I remember a story of a man who hated vegetables. He just never developed the like for those at all. But he was having some serious medical issues. And a couple of his doctors had at least somewhat of a homeopathic choice in the way they handled things. And they said, you know, there's a lot we can do medically, but you really do need more nutrition. And you don't need to be taking a bunch of vitamins and minerals to get it. You should just be getting it naturally. So he took a toothpick and soaked it in carrot juice and would walk around. He was a person who would walk around with a toothpick all the time anyway, hanging out of his mouth. He'd walk around with that toothpick with carrot juice sticking out of his mouth for days. All of a sudden, one day, he was craving carrots. And then he was craving other vegetables. And his body started to shift in what it wanted. Sometimes it's the simplest thing. Let God talk to you about it. Is there a certain way you can eat certain vegetables that might appeal to you? And once you do, your body can start craving that. Little decisions. We're not talking about an entire revamp in 20 minutes. Because I tell you, that's hard to do. Very hard to do. Sleep, medication. There's lots of things you can do. A lot of the resources that I'm talking about that will be up there, they have a lot of this great information, and I'm glad to talk to anybody who wants to, but there's only so much you can pack into a few minutes here. And I really want to focus on the resetting of how we think about this and the resetting of how we think about the steps out. Because I'll tell you, if pain and our emotions are what we push down that caused this, what's the first step out? Sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes there's some pain involved. But we're not alone in it. This is a lonely, lonely thing that people deal with, and that's part of the lie of the enemy. I'm a person who likes people. It's an expression of who I am to go hang out with friends and play games, to be a part of the life of people's households. That's who I am. But when you get into a situation where it feels like this, you can have somebody sleeping in the bed next to you and feel like you're all alone. Again, that's part of the lie. That's part of the separation. You know that term divide and conquer? Yeah, they can kind of cut you away and make you feel like it's not safe to let anyone know what's going on. Put on that facade and move forward. The oil of gladness is something that just in the last few weeks has really been speaking to me, because when I think, okay, exchanging the oil of gladness for the spirit of heaviness, it's not something that you have to get rid of that spirit of heaviness so you can accept the oil of gladness. You start accepting a little bit of that oil of gladness and it begins to push away that spirit of heaviness. It's not one or the other. Just start allowing that in. Just ask God. Say, I'm open to this a little bit. And it'll begin to fill those spaces, just like the light chasing away the dark. That oil of gladness will push that spirit of heaviness away. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. You've never been alone in it, no matter how alone you feel. Becoming more aware of who he is, becoming aware that he has that oil of gladness ready. I think we're at a place where we really need to start moving into allowing God to bring that oil of gladness into our lives.
Just bow your heads for a moment. More than a moment. Just keep them bowed. And if you would, I'm going to jump into that old Pentecostal habit. Don't be looking around. Still your spirit for just a moment. And open yourself up to sense the presence of God. Just give it a moment. We don't wait well in the church. But we need to learn to wait. So let him touch you for a moment. Now just ask him, Lord, who am I? Put away all of the things that you might immediately think and just wait a moment and let him talk to you about who you really are. To get in depth in this will take more time, but just a moment, let him talk to you. God, who am I? You feel that sense of just belonging to him coming across you? That's who you really are. Yes, he has a plan for you. Yes, he has a future and a hope. But right now, what I sense he wants to say to you is you're mine. You're my son. You're my daughter. Folks, that's what Jesus wanted us to know about his Father, is that he's our Father too. Let that touch you. Now, let him talk to you about how you let that be applied to your life in general. Do you live life according to another pattern? Or do you live life according to being a son or a daughter of God? A son in his house, a daughter in his house. And you know, if you never become anything else, you'll make him happy if you accept that. And there will be an oil of gladness that will start to touch you to realize it is that simple. It can just settle in to being a child of God. Leslie said so many things that are so important. But one of them is it doesn't happen just in an immediate action. It's that his presence, his ability, his spirit begins to displace all that spirit of heaviness and all of that thing. And you might have to go to this place over and over and over again. But if you feel like that you've been under this burden of heaviness and that you would like help with this morning, he also said that we could agree together and he would be in our midst. He also said that if we agree together as touching anything, that it would be done. So if you're having a little bit of difficulty feeling his touch, sensing that you belong to him, getting that peace going, you want to just step up here. I'm not going to pray for you in the standard sense of laying on of hands and so forth, but we're going to agree together. And by stepping up, there's something happens. That's why we use this kind of call, is because there's something about stepping from darkness into light when you step out and say, yeah, I'm one of those needy ones. I'm one of those that want the help. I'm one of those that's going to respond to this tide of darkness that's trying to overwhelm me or not. I just feel I need to agree together with God's people for a greater touch, whatever it is. Just step out. I don't care if it's one. I don't care if it's all of you. But just step out and say, yes, I want the church to agree together with me. We're not going to ask you to embarrass yourself by publicly saying what the difficulty is. We're just going to agree together with you. Anybody? I feel a deep sense of this, and that is that there are people that, do you have a sense that emotions are driving your life more than the Spirit? And you just this morning understood that it's okay to have those emotions, but you want them to be controlled by His Spirit. You want them to be controlled by what God's desire is and nothing more. Just step up and let us agree together with you. I'm telling you, there's a presence of God in here that is getting intenser. Is intenser a word? No.
It is now.
Getting more intense. Yeah, we just did it. It's in a word. But it's getting more intense as time goes on. I hear God saying there are situations in people's lives considering those they love. And as I say this morning, I'm wishing that people that are very dear to me were here, but they're not. But considering those they love where it has just become a darkness, you don't really have any hope concerning them, God's going to change some things about the way you see that this morning, because He wants you to see it the way He sees it. He wants you to come out from under something and at least get a sense of the expression of His light. Father, we are agreeing together with these people this morning. God, let your gladness begin to touch them. Let your gladness begin to touch them. Lord, begin to encourage them. Help them to see that there are many things that you will do because they're your daughter, because they're your son. And if they will just dare to hope, dare to put their hope, if they will just dare. God, we pray for this baby right now in Jesus' name.